New poll results show the number of Wisconsin voters favoring the deportation of people in the U.S. illegally has grown. It's Friday, April 19th, and this is Wisconsin Today. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, the Wisconsin State Legislature is suing Governor Tony Evers and the Department of Public Instruction in a dispute over funding for literacy programs. And a senior White House advisor visited Green Bay yesterday. Joe Schultz has the details on the visit. Stay with us.
Agriculture, healthcare, education, you know what's going on in Wisconsin thanks to the Wisconsin Today podcast. And thanks to you, these stories are available to Wisconsinites everywhere. Give now at wpr.org/givewitoday.
Republicans like former President Donald Trump are hammering President Joe Biden on immigration this election cycle. And as Rich Kramer reports, new polling suggests that messaging may be resonating.
Since 2012, the Marquette University Law School poll has asked people about, quote, undocumented workers and a few options for how the country should address them. In this month's poll, 30% of voters said undocumented workers should have to leave their jobs and the country, an all-time high. 49% said they should be allowed to stay and apply for citizenship, which tied for an all-time low. Pollster Charles Franklin calls it a sizable change.
The political rhetoric has changed this year with Donald Trump's simple statement that he would like to deport all immigrants in the U.S. illegally.
When the poll asked a similar question without any qualifiers, 56% said they favored deporting people here illegally. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The Wisconsin State Legislature is suing Governor Tony Evers and the Department of Public Instruction over literacy legislation which was passed last summer. A February bill empowered the Joint Finance Committee to direct $50 million for specific early literacy programs. Those programs were included in a literacy bill which was approved by the legislature last summer. The laws aimed at improving reading scores. Right now, only 40% of third graders in the state are proficient in reading. The lawsuit argues partial vetoes that Evers made to the February bill will allow DPI to spend the money on other programs. Evers spokesperson Britt Cuddeback says the governor was within his constitutional rights to use his partial veto power. She says without doing so, charter and choice schools would have received extra money.
This is yet another Republican effort to prevent Governor Evers from doing what's best for our kids and our schools, this time about improving literacy and reading outcomes across our state.
Lawyers for the legislature are asking for a temporary injunction to stop DPI from spending any of the funds approved for literacy. Wisconsin's debt is at its lowest in 25 years when adjusted for inflation. The share of the state's main tax revenue going to debt payments fell below 2.7% in both 2021 and 2022. The state has long sought to keep annual debt payments lower than 4% of total spending. Lower debt means the state could borrow money to fund infrastructure projects like roads and bridges, and it helps improve the state's credit rating so it could borrow at lower interest rates. Jason Stein is the research director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, which released the report on the state's finances.
In an environment where the markets are giving us higher interest rates, that's an advantage to the state to be able to shade that down a little bit and get some savings for taxpayers.
The state's general fund had a record balance of $6.7 billion as of last June. That may be a record high point for the foreseeable future, though, because of tax cuts and new spending. A senior White House advisor visited Green Bay yesterday to see how the community was leveraging federal funds to boost affordable housing. As Joe Schultz reports, he toured a 43-unit housing project.
Tom Perez, a senior advisor to the president, got a sneak peek at a development funded in part by the American Rescue Plan Act and a federal grant. Over 80% of the units will be reserved for low-income families, and the building's first floor will be occupied by the local United Way. Perez says the project highlights the Biden administration's goals for the American Rescue Plan Act.
This is people's taxpayer dollars being put to good use to enable 43 families to have remarkably wonderful housing and support services that are literally right in their building.
Officials hope to have construction done by the end of July, and rental applications are already open. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, In today's episode of Wisconsin Life, we'll hear from a woman whose career changed after having children. Stay with us.
Thank you to the donors who make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. There are more than 50,000 of you. Your generosity delivers essential news, thought-provoking conversations, and inspiring music to listeners all over Wisconsin and beyond. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCullum with a story about a business owner. It's part of a series we're airing this month on women in southern Wisconsin in partnership with Midwest Mujeres.
Having a kid can completely transform a person's life. And for some people, like Jasmine Lopez of Fitchburg, having kids led her towards an unexpected career. She told me about this as part of a storytelling partnership with Midwest Mujeres in Madison. When Lopez was 16 years old, her family moved from Mexico to the United States. She went to Verona Area High School, which she says was a great experience.
After high school, I saved enough money because I wanted to enroll in college. I wanted to be a teacher, but instead I became a mom.
Lopez's goal shifted. Now she wanted to be the best mom she could be. Eventually, Lopez met her current husband and had a second child. She was happy being a stay-at-home mom, but eventually she became restless.
I realized that I was doing the same thing, putting the kids to bed, wake up in the morning, clean the house. And I think I was in some sort of postpartum depression for a while. I was so stuck on doing all the mom stuff that I really didn't pay attention to it. But I realized that I really didn't have many friends.
So she went online to find mom groups. She met moms who were selling homemade goods so they could make money while staying home with their kids. This intrigued Lopez. She was thinking more about her kids' college fund and her own retirement.
I helped other people to clean their houses and organize them before, and they were always like, oh, you should do this as a business. So I started learning more. I started taking courses and classes. And I really didn't want to open a business, but a lot of people kept telling me, just do it. You're really good at it. And one day I said, well, I'm going to start doing it, but I'm just going to take it one day at a time.
Then her husband registered an LLC for her. There was no turning back. So Lopez started Ketorisma Cleaning in Fitchburg. She says it's rewarding work since she sees the changes in her clients' lives.
I have noticed that a lot of clients that I help, after we've been serving their homes, they start reorganizing stuff. Now they can focus in cleaning the garage. Now they can focus in cleaning the closets. Or now they're going to paint the walls in their house. And I really like seeing those changes. One thing that I think it should change is that house cleaners are not seen as professionals, which is not true. A lot of us have to take certifications. When COVID hit, there was certifications how to properly sanitize areas. You can just go and bleach anything. It's not safe.
Plus, there are a lot of specialties in the cleaning world. Some professionals focus on crime scenes, and others prefer working with an aging population. Lopez has created an online community to bring this diverse group of professionals together.
We want to be able to open a network where individuals can make, well, businesses can make connections with each other, and they can help each other grow.
In some ways, building that community within her industry was inspired by those mom groups she joined years ago. But it's also part of Lopez's driving philosophy in life right now.
I think we just really have to get back to our community. Just like get to know your neighbors, talk to them, say hi to them. Just be a kid again, because kids do that. They just go and start talking to somebody without like being scared or afraid of. And I think that can solve a lot of problems that we have. Yeah.
Jasmine Lopez shared her story with us as part of a partnership with Midwest Mujeres in Madison. We've partnered with the organization to share stories of women who live in southern Wisconsin. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowland Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook and Instagram. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And that'll do it for this Friday. Thank you so much for spending part of it with us here on Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crow. Our producers, you know them, the people putting the show together behind the scenes, they were Mallory Chang and John Davis today. Have a great rest of your day. Have a great weekend as well. And as always, don't forget to leave us that rating and review. Tell a friend, help spread the word about the show. As always, we really do appreciate it. All right, that's it for this show. We'll talk to you again soon.